हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Page 79. Following in the footsteps of Narad Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udai. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.151. Yes.
This verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sarakabhimai.
Yes.
Does that position the jiva as a
Tathashtha
Shakti? Is it marginal frequency?
I don't...
In other words, the jiva is on a marginal energy. It's between the spiritual and the material.
Yes.
With the potential for pure devotion.
That's the natural position. It means the jiva is part of the internal potency, their expansion of the sambit aspect, but they're on the edge because they're so small. That's why they're on the edge, because they're so small they can be easily overwhelmed. All others are you know, bigger potencies, so they don't have that tendency. And so the living entity has that opportunity to take that up. You know, it's just like a child when they appear, they have the natural potential to develop a very full relationship with, dynamic relationship with the parents. But it starts in a neutral state. It's because of the interaction, that's how it develops. So then by associating with the devotees, hearing about Krishna, then this tendency naturally arises. So if one has that interest, then Krishna puts you in contact with the devotees. Then, like you said, one becomes intimately related with this movement. So then one becomes part of the society. Like that. You know, so the movement means you have that spiritual, that dynamic aspect, that preaching and all that, but the society means that association. Right?
What do you mean when you say small?
Small. Like 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, you know, like smaller than whatever, you know, you can't measure that kind of small. Everybody else is a bit bigger. No?
You mean in terms of having a spiritual body?
Yeah, it means the others don't have to expand to be that size. We do. No, the whole point is that they're small so they can be overwhelmed by, they have to work under another energy. Okay. It's just the natural. If you have the biggest, you're going to have the smallest.
Okay.
If you have internal, you're going to have external.
Yes.
If you have internal and you have external, you have to have in the middle.
Yes.
You know, like you have day and night, you're going to have twilight. So we're twilight.
Yes.
You know? And so the point is because there's light, it's connected with the day. But it can be overwhelmed by the night. So that it's just a matter of where you turn your attention. It's like that. Because we are part of an expansion of internal potency. So, yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravanam and kirtanam, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout." Srila Prabhupada. To live with devotees or to live in a temple means to associate with the shravana kirtana process. Right, because that's the main that we're discussing in the morning. People talk community and all that, but the point is it's community means it's based around the shravana kirtana process. You maintain yourself, yes, that's going to be grahasthas and all that, but that's not the major aspect. It may take a lot of time, but that's not the major aspect. You know, does that make sense? You know, so the whole thing is that this is the focus, is about associating devotees and furthering one's Krishna consciousness. This has to be brought out. Sometimes neophyte devotees think that they can continue the Shravana Kirtan process without worshipping the deity. But the exclusion of such Shravana Kirtan is meant for highly developed devotees like Haridas Thakur. Right? Because they're always absorbed in the Lord. The name is the deity.
Yeah.
Like that. Who engage in the Shravana Kirtana process without worshipping the deity. However, one should not falsely imitate Haridas Thakur and abandon deity worship just to try to engage in Shravana Kirtana. This is not possible for neophyte devotees. Because the element that you have within the Vedic and then taking the essence of that is the Pancharatra, then worship of the deity, then it regulates the life in context of Krishna. Because if we think, no, I'll just chant Hare Krishna, and we don't need deity worship, what's going to regulate your life? Mm-hmm. Haridas Thakur, his life is regulated. He always chants.
Yes.
But if we're not always chanting like Haridas Thakur, then what will regulate that time when we're not chanting?
Mm-hmm.
So Pancharatra is perfect for that. It's meant for the conditioned souls. So in other words, conditioned souls that aren't on the Bhagavat platform, then Pancharatra is the natural form. So Bhagavat, that's been formalized to regulate the life so that everything's connected to Krishna, that's Pancharatra. Bhagavat means everything's naturally, spontaneously connected to Krishna. So when it's not spontaneous, Pancharatra then fills that natural position. So it has to be understood what it's doing, because a lot of times, oh, rules and regulation. No, it's regulation. Like, remember, there's even, you take an extreme example, that time when Srila Prabhupada came in, that devotee was carving Jagannath deities, the first Jagannath. And when he came in, sitting on top of somebody's head was a pack of cigarettes. I'm not sure the brand, I can't get into that detail. You know, if it's filtered, without filtered, you know, all that, I can't say. So, and Prabhupada saw that, and then he talked about this. So now he says you have to regulate this. You know, and he just said he's having so much trouble, you know, because, you know, I guess he goes to do something nervous like that. He told him you can have 2 cigarettes a day. And you have to set a specific time when you do. After, you know, like say after breakfast and after some other, you have to have a specific time. Because that regulation, see, is that if you can smoke any time, then there's the idea I can enjoy whenever I like. But if it's you can only smoke after breakfast, you know, you have to sit there for 3 hours and wait for breakfast. And then, you know, you have that whole build-up, and then you smoke your cigarette, and it's not quite as much exciting as you made it out to be in your mind. You know, and then the next one you can smoke is then after another X amount of hours. That's what regulation does. It regulates it so it loses that material drive, that material will. Right? And then that being, then, you know, bring, because why are you doing these? Because of passion and ignorance, right? So it brings it up to goodness, and that you are regulated. Right? Now it's a matter of then how does this serve Krishna consciousness? It doesn't. So therefore, once you get to that regulated platform and there's knowledge about it, then you can drop it. That's what regulation's for. And so that's why it's always very unfortunate that this regulation is the first thing attacked when devotees are trying to be more practical. Or as this morning we were saying, more practical. You know? So they're always, the attack, it's not so much that they attack the regulation. You know, it says, oh, we can't eat this because we're Westerners. Says, okay, so then you're from this country. Do you only eat that local country's food, or do you eat country from food from all over the world? Right? You know, we'll eat from here. You know, I mean, say, you know, whatever it is, you're in the West, you'll eat from the country next to you. You will eat Middle Eastern cuisine. You know, if someone says, hey, I know this great Ethiopian place, you'll check it out. Like that, you know, someone says, hey, let's go check out, you know, I know some Thai place. Yeah, you'll check it out. Oh, Vietnamese, you know, they're yeah, great. Try out Japanese, try out Chinese, try out Russian, you know, try out anything but Indian. That's the rule. The strict rule is no Indian, because we're Westerners. At the same time as we're universal, we're international, but not Indian. Very important. Because, why? Because Indian is the only thing that regulates your life that is uplifting and can help take you back to Godhead because you're materially conditioned. No other culture can do that. No other culture. Where is the regulation in you know, especially in Christianity? Where is the regulation? You know, because we want to be, you know, broad-minded, so we're not talking some monk in a monastery. We're talking about the average Christian on the street. What is his food? When does he eat it? How much does he eat? What does he have to do while he's preparing it? Is there any opera? Is there anything like that? No. What does he wear? What is he? How does he wear? Why does he dress? How does he marry? Get married? How does he deal with the church? Nothing. It means zero. You know? And if we add in, it's okay, yeah, they're Jewish, they're this, as long as they're not one of the ones following any regulations set by religion. In another way, that's a bit fanatic. Oh, you know, we're free, we can eat whatever we want. Yeah, it looks like you're like the animals. Human means you regulate your life. So that's what Pancharatra is for. That's why we say we follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni, because he gives the Pancharatra. And Naishkarmya, that you're following it without attachment for results. Yes?
It's a funny example that just came to the mind, how people, those who embarrass of their own culture,
yes,
how they act. So
yes,
we had one devotee on the Indrajumna Maharaja's Polish tour,
right,
who was Russian, but he used to come from Europe all the time, not from
right,
that side. So from the Russian side, nobody knew him.
Aha.
And he never spoke Russian.
Right.
Like he was pretending he is not...
He's not Russian.
From that side. Then my mom came to visit the tour.
Right.
And she knew him from like 20 years back.
In Russia.
Yeah. And then she's excited, she runs to him and speaks Russian to him in front of everybody, and the guy just, you know, freeze. So the example is that if we're embarrassed of our own culture,
right,
we lose it, and then, you know, it's like, what's wrong with you? It's you know, if we Indian by culture, it's okay, no problem.
Yeah, what's the problem? Because you have to have a culture from somewhere, because otherwise you end up with no culture. You know, and everybody knows, you know, yogurt's good for the health, you know, so, you know, some culture is necessary. Yes.
Another point in the 11th canto, it is actually mentioned that there's no need to practice anything but Bhagavad Mark.
Yes.
But in terms of deity worship, like you mentioned in the beginning, it regulates sadhaka's life.
Right.
But then later, it's very beneficial because it specifies our relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
We worship specific deity in a specific form with this,
yes,
with a specific mantra. So that helps actually.
Yes. Yes. So, because even in the advanced, see, the regulation of Pancharatra, what's important for the neophyte, he can't function without it, because Prabhupada did run it for a few years without it. And then the devotees weren't developing. They didn't learn the philosophy. They became so easily distracted. You know, a few people get up, start talking Mayavada, and they all follow. And only one person had read the books, and then he had to defeat them. So then it's introduced. And we see Prabhupada does it very nicely. It's all centered around Krishna very nicely. But then also in the advanced stage, because it's for them, it's not Pancharatra, it's Bhagavat. Bhagavat means it's connected to Bhagavan. So in the beginning, we see it because he's God, that's why we're doing. But they're worshipping because he's there. So it's seamless, because that's the whole point. Pancharatra is just a formalized Bhagavat. That's why the two go together so well. It's not the main. You can say, oh, it's called the Yuga and this and that. And precisely, that's why it's not the prominent. But it's also because it's called the Yuga without the Pancharatric regulation. No chance. Like that. So one has to see that balance. Very, very important. You know, and like you said, we have a culture. It's an eternal culture from the spiritual world. Previously, it was practiced everywhere on the planet. Now it's only practiced, you know, so-called in India. But it's not India. It's universal. Because if you go to any other planet outside of this one, they follow it. So, yeah, it's way more universal than others. Yes?
When it comes to deity worship means any service for the deity.
Yes.
Those who make flower gowns and clean and cook.
Yes.
Including those who take darshan of the deity.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Now, out of that whole crowd, there's really only a very handful.
Right.
Who really do direct service to the deity, the pujaris and cooks.
Right.
And I'm thinking, we find some temples, I'm not sure all temples, where pujaris come and go all the time. And I'm just wondering if it's because of lack of balance with the puja and proper hearing and chanting. In other words, if you're absorbed in the hearing and chanting, you'll be enthusiastic to serve the deity.
Yes.
If you keep moving because many devotees do pujari work really automatically. I mean, it's like, I've got to turn up, I've got to do this and that. And they can go on for years doing this.
Yeah.
You know, cooking the offering for 15 years. And one day they're gone. Why? You know, they just, okay, I've had enough, I've got to move on.
They went to that great sabji market in the sky.
I know what you're coming from.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering if absorption in deity worship, no matter which aspect of puja, requires a certain amount of hearing and chanting.
Does deity worship require hearing and chanting? One, it's naturally part. If one actually sees, you could say in one sense, deity worship is introduced, but is deity worship actually taught and understood? Because we see in the beginning, Prabhupada's ideas that would be part of studying, for the courses. You would understand what's going on in here. Because when you said everybody's involved, but you have to know how everyone's involved. You know? And so where does what you're doing there? Now there's also the aspect by art. You can perfect and go back to Godhead by archan siddhi. Just by worshiping the deity, you can go back to Godhead. You know, then you have sadhana siddhi, and then you have kripa siddhi. And so you're going to have, as they should be, hearing and chanting. It's all part of the process. You know, it's like all the mantras, they all mean things. You're all chanting. You can't do the worship without chanting. Like that. And so it's supposed to include these things, but sometimes we have to be careful. So that's what those who are, since it's a matter of elevation that go back to Godhead, it's not a matter of organization or management. So then those who are organizing it has to see that the pujaris are also getting properly, you know, trained and everything like that. So it's not just, okay, send them out on this Christmas marathon, you know. No, it's a matter of cultivation like everybody. It's like you said, 15 years. But there's others that don't do deity worship and they don't make it 15 years. You know, so the one has to see is that what holds everything together is Shravanam, Kirtanam process, not management. It's a really, really important point. Management is important. But the glue is Shravanam, Kirtanam, not anything else. It doesn't matter. You have the perfectly managed temple. It doesn't mean anything's going on. I remember seeing one temple really well managed. I mean, just exactly everything like that. But you walked in, it was dry as a bone. You know, I mean, in India you have it. You know, this is one of our temples. In India you have so many temples you go into and they're not well organized. But you have the Birla temples. You go into, they're perfect. Perfect, marble, perfect, everything. Even they've worked into the Indian jolly work, the blowers for the AC. You know, they've thought about everything. It's just like, it's perfect. You know? And you have one in Hyderabad, no? Yeah, up on the hill. It's like, it's perfect. You know, how it's all planned and everything, but nothing. So that's well managed. You know, they probably have some guy there, a manager there, and you know, he's get paid well and it goes well. So management is there to assist. So you can't say, oh, we don't need management. Yes, of course you need management. But you can't say that management's going to fix everything. That's also a big misnomer. So the switch goes from hearing and chanting process into management process. And then some will take it into, oh, no, but we have to, you know, be nice guys and good qualities and all that kind of thing, you know, the social kind of thing, you know, that's going on, you know, being the nice guys and all that. And then you have that. But the point is the only thing that will work is the Shravanam Kirtanam process. So you have to see that the pujaris are also properly engaged, properly regulated, properly nourished. And so people have to see that. Not just everything's going on, therefore it's good. No, it's people becoming Krishna conscious. That's the point of the GBC. Because otherwise, the temple president will think, if I manage it perfectly, job done. So without the GBCs, the sannyasis, the preachers, traveling preachers, and that, then how are you going to know that, no, that's not enough. That's good. Now, you've got it so nicely organized, now you can afford it, add in, you know, see that the Shravanam Kirtanam process is going. Does that make sense?
What about the temple where all the pujaris are on a wage?
All the pujaris are on a wage. I mean, you have to take care of the pujaris. So it's not a problem they're on a wage. That's also another misnomer. Oh, you're doing full-time deity worship, you should get nothing. How do you maintain yourself? I don't know. It's not my business. I run this temple and I got to have the deity worship running because I'm the president and I got to have it working nicely. And we got three altars so that we're more prestigious than other temples. But we're not paying anything because this is not karma and all that. Well, what about you as the president? Are you getting anything? Oh, of course, you know, like that. I even get dental, you know, like that. You know, so these kind of misunderstandings are also a big problem. Point is you're supposed to take care of the Brahmins. Why aren't you giving them places? Why aren't you giving them this? You don't want to give them cash. Pay their bills. You know, they have an apartment. You pay that. Don't make them pay it. You pay it. You pay the electricity. You pay the gas. You pay all these different things. And then give them something in hand that they can, you know, take care of little things like this. You know, so this whole thing is, oh, Pujari's got to eat in the temple and all that while the temple president eats at home. That's not bogus. That's bogus. You know, it's just like you have to see is that. So the point is, if you don't support the Brahmins, then who's supposed to? Oh, no, the Brahmins working. They are working selflessly. It's your business to take care. In other words, you're saying they work selflessly. That doesn't mean you don't pay for it. They're working selflessly, you know, but why aren't you paying for that? No, they have to work selflessly and I won't pay. You know, it's like, what do you call it? It's just corporate. They call it management, but it's not. It's corporate. Corporate is, if we can go out into, you know, the countryside in some poor little country and get people to work for basically nothing, and then we take it back to the city and then, you know, it's some natural this and that like that, and we can sell it, you know, for 1,000 or 2,000% markup, perfection. You know, like that. We're not about to pay them anything more. So that's just what we're dealing with. You know, everybody has their conditioning. So, yes, our managers come in with these conditionings. They have no idea. Who supports the priests? Who actually gives money and supports and does that? Yes, but where? Which congregation? Indians will do it. You know, more religious Jews will do it. More religious Muslims will do it. I'm sure there's some more, you know, serious Buddhists will do it. But then, you know, where is it coming from? The community's not going to do it, because why should I, if I give money, then, you know, they have this money and they'll become puffed up and that, and they'll fall down, and I don't want to be part of him falling down, so I'm not giving a paisa. I've heard that directly coming out of people's mouths. Quite a few, actually. I haven't heard it just once, I've heard it a few times. Yeah, they really think they're doing a serious service by not giving anything. Like that. You know, just like Rupa Goswami. I mean, since we're doing Rupa Goswami's instructions here, you know, 50%, he had the money, but he did not give it to anybody because he didn't want any of the Vaishnavas to get popped up and fall down. So he just invested it and made more money, you know, hey.
He also didn't give it to his relatives. He didn't give it to his family also.
No, he didn't. They only got their quarter. Like that, this you just invest. You know, because we're devotees, it's all for Krishna, anything I do is perfect. So then, like that. So, one has to see is that you have to take care of the Brahmins, and there has to be training. And I even saw that there are those who want more, so then the temple can say, we can give you this much, we will take care of you. So we've had temples that do take care of their pujaris, but simply because, you know, the temple doesn't have much. Somebody wants more. They tell them, we can't take care. If you want more, you have to go out and do it yourself. They go out and do it yourself. Now they make a whole crusade about why these ones in the temple are getting paid. And then make such a big scene in the community. The community has to kick out all the pujaris and can't take care of anybody because of a improperly trained, uncultured community. You know, that's led by individuals who just, you know, are greedy. You know, they're conditioning what to do. But the point is that there is a standard. We have to stick to that. And the community likes it or not. There's always, oh, the community won't accept this. Then when are you going to grow up and start training to have a community that has more brains and culture than, you know, six-year-olds? You know, or basically three-year-olds. You know, three-year-olds, it's got to be about them. It's totally them. You hit four, there is some room for discussion. So this whole thing is, that's the point is the communities aren't trained because no one's preaching and training them. Because that's the whole point, is Shravanam Kirtan. So, therefore, you live in the temple, it's Shravanam Kirtan. You live outside, you should be trained in Shravanam Kirtan. Then there's community. Between the community and the temples, and between everybody in it, there's common ground. So then the processes of devotional service, these five main processes, direct processes. So why is it everybody doesn't know? You know, trained in the glories of the Dham, trained in the glories of deity worship, in the holy name, in Bhagavatam, in associating with Vaishnavas. You know, we hear about the glory of the name and the glory of Samkirtan, but what about the glory of serving Vaishnavas? You know, it comes down to, I want to give a donation to a devotee. You know, Grihastha make money. You know, I give one to give to some. No, you can't, because in this city of, you know, 20 million people, I'm the president, even though there's only three people in the temple. I mean, if we count the deities, we have 11. But if we don't count them, yeah, there's three. And so then I'm in control. No one could give anybody to think because it's all my money. That's not culture.
Used to be.
Yeah, it's not. It's like this. And so therefore, they can't give money, can't do anything like that. No one wants to give to this guy. And so it's a big problem. So one has to see is that, no, it doesn't work like that. There's a culture. It's all based on culture, all based on relationships. That relationships is centered around Shravanam Kirtan. Then along with that, then taking a prasad and discussing and Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that, you know, Vaishnav Seva we don't discuss. You know, like that Namaruchi definitely don't discuss, because then you'd be a Sahajiya. You know? Sambandha Gyan, you don't want to discuss that, because then you're a Gyani. You know, so we can't talk about Sankirtan, but that's even seen to be. But we definitely we can talk about management. Yes?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point in Jaiva Dharma. He says the difficulty with the neophyte worshipping the deities is that Shravana and Kirtana, it's not a value for him. It's an abstract thing. Because worshipping the deity for neophyte, it's concrete, it's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually happening. Although, he also makes that point that as soon as he leaves the place of worship, he don't feel connected, like completely disconnected.
Yeah.
But when Madhyama, or if we train people and make them understand it is a value of Shravana, Kirtana, Smart like that.
Yes, yes.
Then they come to a different level of deity worship.
Right, right. Yes. So it's just, it has to be there, because that is the process. Deity worship is there as a support. So the main thing is that hearing, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam chanting and the association of devotees. And then where will that be? In the Dham. Where, and what, who's Dham? The deities in the Dham. So it all goes together. Then it works really nice. So if it's seen in the balance, then the whole thing works really well. And you have to understand how everything's deity worship. That our morning sadhana, how we get up, take bath, put on our tilak, that's abhigamana. That's approaching the temple. We're not getting it from somewhere else. You know, it's not like we're sitting there and chanting Vedic mantras and we're doing Vaikanas or something. You know? So it's coming from Pancharatra. It's given by Narad Muni. Then, like you said, people are making garlands, people are cooking and all that. That's upadana. That's collecting the paraphernalia. Someone's there, you know, it's like when you go up the stairs, you know, there's that one guy there, has been there for a million years washing the pots and everything like that. That's upadana. And so it's part of the deity worship. It's one of the five things. Then you have the, you know, pujaris who do the preliminaries and do the direct worship. And so that they specifically are doing. But up to that point, everybody's doing, and then a lot of people are doing. And then there's a limited persons who are doing that specific thing. But we'll also see is within that, the 16th item, that again, everybody's taking part in. The Darshanartik, the Charinamrita, circumambulating the deities, the Kirtan, you know, all those things like that, everybody's taking part in. And then when you have the main Artiks and all that, then devotees that are seeing that, they're just as involved as the Pujari. That's something that's not being discussed. Then that's four. That will, you know, we'll take it that the middle three, those things are deity, getting up in the morning and getting ready and that, who sees that as Pancharatra? Then you have the last item of the five. Then that is all the things connected with it. That without that, the deity worship won't be complete. So that is the aspects of chanting, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the Dham, taking care of guests, worshipping Tulsi, honoring Prasad, you know, studying the scriptures, you know, doing your specific service for the deity, you know, like the temple president's managing, so that's where it fits in. You know, someone else goes out during the day and does other things, or goes out and preaches. That's their service for the deity. So in this way, then, everything is connected. It's a full lifestyle. You know, so people complain, oh, this Vedic, this, that, and all these things you can't do. But the point is that the essence of the Vedic lifestyle is the Pancharatra. That's what's been directly given to us. And then those few things from, you know, and that is all centered around the deity in the temple. Now, you live in your house, your life is centered around the deity, but there's certain things in taking care of your house and money and this and that. That comes from the Vedic. Where else are you going to get it from? Because no one else is going to tell you. Is there an American thing to do with your money? What about European? South American? Is there specifically, there's some regulation? No. Therefore, the Vedic. This idea is, no, we're American, we do American stuff. There is no American stuff. You know, it's just because you say we're American, that makes you American. That's it. That's kind of where it's ended. Because you have to understand, everybody eats Lay's potato chips. You know, just coming back from the Gurukul, I found at least two bags on the road. Right? You know, different colors. You know, the yellow one and the blue one. I don't know what the blue one is, but you know.
The red is also there.
Yeah, yeah, with the chili, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's Indian.
Huh?
It's Indian.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I couldn't. What's the blue? You know, cucumbers or something.
Onion.
Oh, that might be. Yeah.
The way things evolved in the early days in Kolkata, the study of Deva worship. The temple was that everyone, men, women, everybody was a pujari or a sankirtani.
Yes.
Right. So everybody was involved with the puja or with the preaching. And then the temple was really uplifted with hearing and chanting. And then at some point, all these brahmacharis get married, they move down, they start a business, they leave.
Right.
So then you bring the congregation.
Yes, but that's why you see Prabhupada started talking about varnashram.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As soon as people live outside the temple, you need varnashram.
Yes. But my point is, originally those single, they were like, they would do just service, they would not require any money.
Right.
Now you bring the congregation, they have requirements.
They have?
They have requirements. They have to leave. They don't live in the ashram anymore.
That's a good one, requirements. It sounds better. Generally I hear, they have needs. Requirements, okay. Good, good.
So in other words, the money that was made before, because I remember it was 50% of the money collected on Sankirtan during the week went for deity worship and the Sunday feast.
Right.
That's where the money went, and the flowers.
Right.
But now you have, you know, like you have to maintain the grihasthas if you want them to come dress the deities, you've got to pay the bills, as you say, you've got to pay for their cars, pay for the kids' education, their health insurance.
Yeah, yeah. But then the point is those that can do it full time, it's not that somebody comes in and does it a little bit and he'll put in this. You're taking care of those who are full time pujaris.
Yes.
So those who will do full time pujari work, you take us like here. We have, I think there's, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 in the pujari department.
Janani Vas Prabhu said at some point, all together, right?
Right.
140 devotees serving the devotees.
Okay, 140. So the point is, they're taking care.
It's quite a few on the way, too.
Yeah. So the whole point is that, but you're looking at not somebody who comes in and does an artik, you know, 3 days a week, and now you're paying for everything. No, it's got to be, you got to be fully engaged.
Yes.
You know, and then you try to take care of everything. And so that's the whole point, is that, and how many full-time people do you need, especially in any of these Western towns? What worship they're doing that's so elaborate? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Some of you do. I think it's, I don't know if they still do, but I think it used to be LA and maybe London used to dress the deities twice a day. Besides the night dress.
Three times.
Yeah, but I'm saying night dress is the...
No, they're changing the afternoon.
Yes.
Small deities get changed.
Oh, no, but these, one time it was the big deities were changed. When they opened at 4, they were in a new outfit. But that might have been just a certain time. Just that. But, you know, so you might have more, and so then that's great. But, you know, and so Prabhupada wanted, like in Vrindavan, he wanted 100 pujaris just for the three altars. You know, so they could take care of everything. They would do all, they do all the dressing, all the cooking, all the kirtan. And that's what we mean. It's not that they just come in, dress the deity, and go away. No, then they'll cook for the deities, they'll clean, they'll do kirtan for the deities, they'll take care of guests that come and show them around. And so they're busy all day. You know, just like, you know, because otherwise they go outside and say, you know, you can say, oh no, but I don't have time. Yeah, you go outside, it's 9 to 5. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know? And so why wouldn't you do the same in the temple? And so, yeah, so others will be doing around like that. Then you go, you're with the family, right, fine. But, you know, you work it out what it is. And so then you have to take care. So that's the whole whole ideas that you do, but that's what you're taking care of. But what happens is that people don't want to do anything. They think because I'm a devotee, so it all just happened for free. But that's not a pujari mentality. Who gets taken care of? In the Vedic system, what varna gets just taken care of?
The Brahmins.
No, the Shudras. The Brahmins work. Shudras think, I'm just taken care of, and the work as little as possible. So if someone's arguing, they don't want to do this, I can only do, 2 hours a day, I got family, I got this and that, that's a Shudra. That's not a Brahmin mentality. Brahmin is, I put in a nice work. Right? So then you see is that these kind of things you have to take care of. And so those who will do that, they're taken care of. And there has to be proper training. There has to be the Vaishnav lack of pride and lack of, entitlement and all these things, all these good qualities. Then others can appreciate. No one will complain. But if we apply our Western need for prestige, then we have a problem. So there's so many things to look at. But the point is there's a basic understanding and mentality you have to start with. Then with that, you can look at, the practicalities, because there'll be so many things to look at. Does that make sense? The natural thing. Temple makes more, give more. Temple makes less, give less. So that's all. Those who are committed, they'll go with it. But there's a commitment to take care. You're working to take care. You're a manager. Take care. Otherwise, what's the point of being the manager? So it mentions in Manu, the Brahmin's not able to take care of himself by, what he does, his patana, patana, yajana, like this, then the king should maintain him. But with doing that, 1/6 of the benefit that he gets from his spiritual activities goes to the king. So if the temple president is maintaining 20 pujaris, nicely and all that, whatever, all 1/6 of all of their spiritual benefit they get goes to him. So not bad. Worthwhile. Because it means you take, just to give an understanding here, is that 1/6, you take 6 1/6, you get a complete amount. So you're getting full spiritual like that. So 20 times 1/6, that means he's getting 3 1/3. Like that. That means he's getting 3 1/3 times more spiritual benefit than he would get on his own. So if he adds his own and he's doing 4, then he's getting 4 1/3 times in one day. That's good. So if he's wondering, why should I work so hard? That's why you should work so hard.
Because if he's smart enough to engage all those pujaris, he can just sit at home. Benefit anyway.
He could, but the problem is if he just sits at home, it won't happen. Yeah, so it's a matter of, there's a culture there, and we have to see that and try it. But the problem is because of our conditioning, so many things come up and difficulties. And yes, those things will come up. But because they come up, you can't throw out the system. Because devotees have been, they're committed to and they're that, but they're rough. That doesn't mean you throw out that commitment to Krishna consciousness and water it down so that now everybody is all mamby-pamby. So that now nobody's too rough on the delicate sentiments of the karmis. Like that. But the point is you get zero benefit for having arranged that. By doing that, you get no spiritual benefit. Whoever arranges these things, whoever oversees these things, doesn't get any spiritual benefit from that. Because where's the dedication? People look for where people are dedicated. No one cares for mamby-pamby. Because you're a nice guy, that's not enough. You're dedicated. That's what they look for. Now, if you're dedicated and a nice guy, now that's a good combination. This idea is that, they were dedicated before, but, we turned people away. Who did we turn away? You came because of those guys, right? And then you go, in fact, there's a good chance you were one of those guys. And while you were one of those guys, you probably had an influence on so many people being devotees. Now, it's like, no, we got to be nice guys. But then there's no serious focus or dedication. And who cares? Nobody is impressed if there's no focus. So the point is by continuing devotional service, all good qualities come. Then you have that dedication and focus and the good qualities. But the switch from the one to the other, because it's politically correct, it's... I guess to put it mildly, it would be that it's bogus. You know? No, not wanting to upset anyone.
This topic is so badly misunderstood.
Yes. No, all of these things are missing because these are not our focus. Somehow or another, since the mid-90s, and somehow or another, being a professional and all that's been the focus. And the fun part is who's become professional? Name me one leader that's become professional from these talks. That's become. I'm not saying that there aren't people that are professional, but in the mid-90s, they were already professional. You go back in the 80s, they were professional. In the 70s, they were professional. And today, they're still professional. But the ones that were not professional in the 90s, today, they are still not professional. Because it's not your nature, it's not your nature. You know, like the ad says. So that's the whole thing. That's why Varnashram is there. You want to be the professional, but you haven't become the professional in the last 25 years. Maybe try something else. You know? You know, like Shravana Kirtanam process? You know, try that. And there's a good chance you would excel. Someone has to see. It's just the way it is. It's the reality. People want to talk reality and be practical and that this is what's real. Yes, you have to organize it and manage it, but if you're not organizing, managing this, what are you organizing and managing? If you're not managing and organizing pure devotional service that it can meet, that people who are already there are cultivated and outside, then they're being exposed to and coming in, what are you managing? What's the point? It's like having a department, you know, that's there and, you know, so-called well-organized, but they produce nothing. They do nothing. They add nothing. So what to do? But it's right here. Prabhupada talks about it. So it's not that, oh, this is something new. It's something that's always been there. It's just a matter of being aware that it's there. No? Yeah. Okay. Continue with Prabhupada's purport. The word Guru Prasad indicates that the spiritual master is very merciful in bestowing the boon of devotional service upon the disciple. That is the best possible gift the spiritual master has to offer. Those with a background of pious life are eligible to receive life's supreme benefit and to bestow this benefit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sends his representative to impart his mercy. Endowed with the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master distributes the mercy to those who are elevated and pious. Thus, the spiritual master trains his disciples to render devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Guru Kripa, right? Guru Kripa means training them to render service. Like that. You know how you say? Smiling is a side bonus. It's not the essence. Right? This is called Guru Kripa. It is Krishna Prasad, Krishna's mercy, that he sends a bona fide spiritual master to the deserving disciple. By the mercy of Krishna, one meets the bona fide spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple is fully trained in the devotional service of the Lord. So you see, Prabhupada's talking about everything in his purports. That's why he set up these courses to study his books. Right? So this is why also the first offense to the holy name is because Krishna's mercy comes through the devotees, through the preachers. And so that's why you don't blaspheme the preachers, because they're the ones that the mercy comes through. Right? And then you see in the third one, you don't make offense to the spiritual master, because then he specifically connects one and instructs you and trains you. like that. And so, because that's the core aspect, is that you're trying to connect yourself to Krishna. Yeah? No? Yes?
In many devotees' mind, coming from a Christian background, mercy means we don't have to endeavor for anything. It's just magic. It just happens.
It just happens. Yes, yes.
You're
yes.
saved.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. They want miracles.
Exactly, it's a miracle.
They want a miracle. That's why the man had to show so many miracles, because otherwise they couldn't care less.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's the thing. That's what Prabhupada makes the point. We should be working as hard for Krishna as we were, as you know, karmis work for material sense enjoyment. So that may take some time. You'll see, like you were discussing previously, that the Madhyama mentality appreciates that and can be, you know, to various degrees stable in that. Well, the neophyte then has a tendency to need other support like that. But that's the whole point of the whole movement, is to create that support. Because you know that if you're preaching, the maximum amount of people are coming in, so your maximum volume is going to be neophytes. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that the movement only caters to neophytes. You have to. The point is, you're catering to neophytes to bring them to prema.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that means you have to bring them to madhyams, and then from that, in other words, perfecting sadhana, you get to bhava. Perfecting bhava, you get to prema.
Yeah.
So you have to get them to bhava. How do you do that? By perfecting their devotional understanding and practice. You know, as sadhakas, then that improves. So that's then the focus. You know. Otherwise, we just get infinite regression again. You know, okay, you know, what's the whole point of preaching? Preaching is to make devotees. Okay, and then when you make the devotees, you train them to make devotees. Okay, and then they make devotees. You know, where does anybody get trained? So the concept of jiva-doya, you know, has some position. That's nice, but what about Vaishnav-seva? What about Nama-ruchi? These are three features of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So that's the difficulty. We have to be very, very careful. Like that. So we don't want to do, in this, we don't want to reduce anything with the jiva-doya aspect. You know, you that should remain and increase, but we want to see that Vaishnav-seva is there. Because as soon as that's there, then the devotees, you know, how you say? Devotees' lives matter or something, you know, like that. And so then, you know, and so then it has you know, you take advantage there. Then that element of the siksha aspect becomes important rather than just the diksha. You know, namaruchi, so there's not just a matter of I'm ritualistically doing my sadhana, but it's about the taste and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, then things remain. It comes with time. It doesn't happen overnight. It may happen overnight. That's very fortunate. But if not, you just stick with it. And so then you set up opportunities where that taste is there and everything like that. So, yeah.
You know, it's an interesting phenomenon because many neophyte devotees are capable of making many new devotees.
Yes.
And you could end up with an off balance of many new people, which create a community of Kanishthas.
Right.
And very few Madhyamas, because everybody is absorbed in, you know, bring more and more and more and more people, and
yes,
who is making progress.
Right. That means you're going to get, but if they're working in that way that they're making so many devotees, you'll generally see those that are making the devotees, and the devotees that they made are quite enthusiastic. So that's why,
yeah,
Krishna says those that preach to the devotees are most dear.
Yeah.
Because even if there's just a handful of the madhyams, they preach to
yeah,
these preachers and to their community, but especially to those preachers.
Right.
And then they preach to who they've, you know, brought in. And then they, you know, like this, it goes on. Then it will work very nicely. So it's understood there's going to be less at the top. But the point is, everyone has the potential to move through. You know, because you're a Kanista for so long, then a Madhyama, and they move on like that. And then you go back to Godhead. And then the next group is coming through, you know. So it's like, you know, there's plenty of space. So you don't have to worry that it'll get overbalanced. But at the same time, as we did see at 75, Prabhupada started saying, boil the milk.
Yes.
So he had brought the standards up to a very nice sustainable standard of the temple worship, of the sadhana, of the book distribution, of, you know, food distribution, you know, all these different programs that he wanted to establish. And now it's now boil the milk. Boil the milk means reduce, make it good, make it solid, preach, cultivate. So that's the one thing that just kind of, you know, if anything went over the head, that was the instruction that went over the head. You know, because instead of that, it just came into management.
Instead of boiling the milk overflows.
Yeah. Instead of cooking the milk. Yeah. Well, that, or people are worried it's going to overflow, so let's take it off the fire so it won't overflow, because you know we can't have that problem of it overflow, because it overflows, it burns. You know, it's Krishna's milk and all this and that, and you know the guy, you know, so we have so many excuses.
You can add water in the milk.
Add water. Yeah, you can add water. Yeah, that also works. That also works. Add water, then you don't have to worry.
You become gosh.
Shanti, shanti. Yeah, goshas.
It's just white substance. It's not milk.
Yes, but it doesn't boil over.
Well, the worst situation is you curdle it with lemon. Curdle.
But even if that happens, you keep cooking it.
You get cold.
You get well, what's that called? What's that preparation called where they curdle the milk and they cook it down into burfi? No, it's not koi. Koi is when it's just you just keep, and when it goes to burfi, you just keep going till it turns into a lump. Now this is I'm not sure. Isn't Mysore Pak like that, or that there's some preparation that I know of. It's a standard prep where that's how they do it. They actually curdle the milk and then cook it down into burfi. Yes, very far. I just had it the other day. I'll find out the name. So even there, you know, but point is you're cooking it down. You know? So that aspect has to be there, and then organization is about how to maintain these things and to cook it down. So that now you're adding that to it. Now the focus becomes how to cook down what's already there. Because if you already have these things, then that's how it runs. You just maintain them. Now focus on cooking it down. Then you get something. Then you start bringing people up into the up in consciousness and everything like that, and that they're able to influence more. That's how it spreads through the whole world. But Bhakti Lata Bij means the seed of devotional service. Everything has an original cause or seed. For any idea, program, plan, or device, there is first of all the contemplation of the plan, and that is called the bij or seed. The methods, rules, and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata Bij. Right, so it's the whole thing, or seed of devotional service. It's not just, I got the seed, and then you know, it just goes whichever way. No, this whole thing, the methods, the rules, the regulations, the, you know, how it's organized, how the training goes on, that's all, that constitutes the Bhakti Lata Bij. It's not just, there's a seed, it's the whole cultivation.
Yes.
Like that.
It's like to do gardening. Now.
Yes, it's like gardening. That's why it's equated to gardening. Because the point is you cultivate the land, then the seed will grow, you water it, you get rid of the weeds. You know, it's all part of the process. That's all part of Bhakti Lata Bij. Right? And then if you continue that, then it goes on. How, you know, then it goes to the spiritual world, takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, and then gives fruits of love of God.
Is the seed called Basundi? Basundi?
Basundi, I'm not sure. Might be.
You just keep removing the top part.
No, that's another one.
Kalakan maybe.
Kalakand. I think it's Kalakand. Yeah. I think it's Kalakand. Never had Kalakand? It's kind of like a burfi, but it's all in little dinky little round balls.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Little balls all stuck together like that.
Like
yeah, it's kind of like Mysore Pak, but yeah. But it's this one. Yeah, so in other words, you're cooking burfi and something happens and it curdles, you just keep cooking and now it's kalaka. You know, so it's, you know, it's like.
Utility is the principle.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which way it's going, you win. You know, it's like that. Oh, so you have. No, no, today we made kalaka. Oh, wow, variety.
And, that is when there's a place called Ajmer.
Ajmer.
They have a special way of cooking that. It has like reddish hue and it has a different.
Okay, they probably put the sugar in. I'm not sure that they don't turn it with fitkari. The alum? No? I kind of remember that because it's a very septic thing, so it won't give. It does something very specific. Mm-hmm. It may be because it also makes it into those little balls.
I think they have the bundi also there.
Sorry?
For making bhundi or the laddus, sometimes they add the
soft. Oh, but in this, it's just the milk. There's nothing else. There's no other thing. You add other things into it, you get different preps. That's the thing. It's unlimited milk sweets that you can do.
It's saying 500. Surat has 500 snacks.
Yeah, 500 snacks.
No, not here.
I know.
Right, what's in the basket?
Order.
It's like shock in Bindan. Any leaf is a shock.
Any leaf is a shock, yeah.
I was so surprised.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, in another parts of India, because I guess they don't have so much, then any vegetable is called shock in north. They call vegetable shock. Mm. But it's actually in Bengal. No, that's just the leafy stuff. Then you have all the other. Shakar, I think north they say shag. But whatever.
That verse that says Guru Prashad Upai Bhakti like a beach.
Yes.
When you come in contact with the devotee, you plant the seed of bhakti in your heart.
Yes.
But then the argument is that the seed is already there anyway.
So whose argument? No, whose argument? Who's arguing?
Some devotees, they don't argue, they just make the statement.
No, but what is their particular, you know, political position that they're making this statement?
The verse says planting the seeds, but the seed is already there.
So yes, but what's their purpose for bringing that aspect out? They want to say we don't need gurus, or, you know, what's their point?
I think the idea is that the guru kind of reignite what's already there.
Okay, but why do they want to bring that out? Why would you want to emphasize that?
I heard someone give a class or not. I just thought.
Point is it's the inherent nature of somebody to do that. But unless you have the association of Vaishnavs, it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, even you're talking within Bhav Sadhana. Unless you have that interest to develop that Rati for Krishna, you don't come in contact with Krishna's eternal associates. And therefore, you don't move forward. So you can't say is that, no, it's already there and this and that, and why give so much credit and, you know, stuff like that. It's not. It's the inherent nature of the living entity to love Krishna. But the point is you get that love for Krishna from the devotees, nowhere else.
Yes. I also heard the same question. Usually the idea is, why don't we say nurturing the bhakti lata instead of planting? Because if it's already there, what do you plant?
No, but the thing is that it's the nature. Just like, is it natural for kids to eat? Right? But do they just, because they have the nature to eat, are they eating? No. You have to give them something to eat. Then they naturally eat it. So this thing is saying, oh, they have the nature to eat and food's already there. No, the food is given. So the nature is there to do that, but when the seed's given, then it will grow. I mean, what would be the point of it's already there, just you're nurturing it and like that? Because then anybody can nurture it. So then we don't need gurus, we don't need, you know, special reverence for them, because, you know, what did they do? Like that, and, you know, I don't have an eternal relationship or debt to them, or you know, it may not be the person saying it, it may not be a conscious thing. But in other words, you have to see what's the angle and don't overemphasize it in the wrong angle. You know? Okay. Is that, yes?
I think in that analogy, the jiva's natural inclination is the fertile soil.
Yes.
And the seed is given by...
Yes.
Guru.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Because otherwise, why do they say it? Why would Lord Chaitanya? And if Lord Chaitanya, that's another fun part, is Lord Chaitanya saying this, and then we'll take some of these things and dismiss them.
Yes.
You know, put less emphasis on them. But no, they're planting the seed, because that's the point, is it's the field. You have to, you know, take shelter. So the point is you the jiva then moves forward into this, because by the influence of the Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini potencies on Tathasta Shakti, you get the taste of spiritual. You have knowledge of spiritual, and you have consciousness. But that's where it ends. Now that, then you put that in the fire of the internal potency, now you get Rati and Prema. You know, so I'm a servant of Krishna, and so then I perform devotional service, and then they taste prema. That's why the analogy of iron and fire is used. We're the iron in the analogy. And the internal potency is the fire. And we are always iron. But if you're always in the fire, you're always fire, as good as. So in the spiritual world, they don't make a distinction between internal potency and jivas. You know, that, oh, you know, like walking along, oh, here's some jivas. Oh,
jiva, you don't think
of the human. It's just, you have to see is that they don't like that, because the point is there's no distinction. Because if you did, then everybody'd walk. Because then the spirit, we make the distinction between the Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini. In the spiritual world, they don't do that. It's only here for our understanding, so that we can see how things are. Everything's coming from the spiritual. That's the natural position. You know, originates in Krishna. It's coming from His Sarup. It's not coming from us. He's the supreme. We're not. You know, whatever it is that we say we are, Krishna's better at it. You know. So that's where it comes up. But otherwise, then, so we have to see is that we can't overemphasize something. We have to see it in its balance. And that's why we have the Sangha of devotees, because someone may have some understanding, some revelation, but if it is out of balance, then someone else, another devotee that has something, will come and it'll discuss it, and then you can develop it. That's what vichar is for. You know, it's just like, I'm saying these things about let's say, you know, we said before about management. But someone else who's a manager, he may be able to put in points that you would refine it and present it slightly differently. But they would see, okay, this is important. Yeah, I have to put more emphasis here. But at the same time, you can't just, it's that easy to just write off. No, there's certain things to consider there. You know, if that's what you're doing and this is all you do all day and you're overwhelmed with this, where do you get the time for this? But then that's why then you should see that there are people doing this. You have leading preachers in the temple. You do, if you can do it, that's great. Like that. But if you can't, you support those who can. So again, that's why then you manage that. You have the senior devotees, you have this and that. He is the administrator, but they take care of these things. So then you can have a very nice combination. You know, you see, before you'd have famous temple presidents of Prabhupada's time, because they could administrate and lead the preaching. You know, be very personal in that. You know, and they were known. Karandar was known. Bhakti Das was known. Gargamuni at Calcutta. I don't know if you pronounced it right. I think it's with an O. Not a U. No? Oh, okay. No? Yeah, Gargamuni. That's what the Marwaris called it.
Then you also have BTG. Brahmananda, Tamal, and Gagamani.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so yeah, the Marwaris, they used to say he's one of us. He's not a Westerner. He's a Marwari. You know, they were so impressed with him, like that. Yes.
Also, on the contact, we only emphasize on the Bhakti Shakti being given, but another place, Shiva Goswami brings out there is also the Anugraha Shakti by whose mercy you are getting the Bhakti Shakti. So there are two Shaktis involved.
Oh, two Shaktis involved. Yes. So it's coming up. This Bhakti Lata Bij is received from the spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. Other seeds called Anyavilasa Bija include Karma Bija and Jnana Bija. If one is not fortunate enough to receive the Bhakti Lata Bija from the spiritual master, he instead cultivates such seeds as Karma Bija, Jnana Bija, or political, social, or philanthropic bijas. You know, because we all know karma and jnana we're not supposed to do, but you know, here, we didn't catch that these bijas you have to be careful of. However, the Bhakti Lata Bij is different from these other bijas. The Bhakti Lata Bij can be received only through the mercy of the spiritual master. Right, so you can see here is you're receiving the seed, but through that mercy. So that's the other aspect, is that the seed is there, but you have the mercy to be able to take it. Like Prabhupada mentions that when he gives a service, he gives you the potency to do the service.
Intelligence.
Yeah, the intelligence to be able to do. So the point is that when Prabhupada says he made our fortune, it's literally that, because he makes a fortune, then you can receive the seed. Like that. Therefore, one has to satisfy the spiritual master to get the Bhakti Lata Bij. Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasadaha. The Bhakti Lata Bij is the origin of devotional service. Unless one satisfies the spiritual master, he gets the bija or root cause of karma, jnana, and yoga without the benefit of devotional service. Right, so he gets engaged in all these different activities, but these same activities can be used in karma and jnana. You know, so to say, some souls will make, you know, emphasize the point, oh, these aren't devotional things. No, they're Vedic methods that are used by the devotees. You can also use them without devotional service. We have to understand, where did it come from? The activities of karma, the knowledge of jnana, comes from bhakti. But when it's done without bhakti, it's called karma. And when it's done without bhakti, it's called jnana. Right? Like that. So that's the positions. We have to know where it comes from. You know, because some will say, oh, the dress, that's not devotional. Says, no, it's the Vedic dress worn by devotees. The karmis and jnanis also happen to wear it. But that's why it's pious, is because it's the dress that devotees use. So what in the Vedas is called piety, it's because these are natural activities devotees would use for Krishna. You understand? It's the origin. The reflection, if you take a spiritual world, there's only bhakti. And when you reflect it in the material world, you get the same forms. But now people, it's perverted because people do it without bhakti. So because it's... Sorry?
It's just piety.
Yes, it's just piety. And so therefore you give names to that piety. You do piety in this area, call it this, and therefore you call it social, philanthropic, you know, altruistic, you call it all these different things, economic, you know, knowledge, and all these different things, because you're doing the pieties without bhakti. But for bhakti, you're already doing this, because bhakti is the origin of everything. There's no such thing that doesn't come from there. Of course, one can say, oh, but what about, you know, they'll take some extreme example of something that they heard from Prabhupada in the proper context, and then try to say, but this is not bhakti. But that point is it's the same principle. The principle, the detail now, because you get, as it gets distorted, as people drop in the modes, the distortion gets more. The principle is the same. So the Kali Bhakta, here's what he does and all that, but it's still his life is regulated. He's according to Shastra, according to Guru, according to the time, place, and circumstances. He's following the Vedic principles. Then as he gets purified, then he starts to see, I'm worshipping Kali, but before I worship, I always have to worship Vishnu or Shaligram. So, and all the remnants go to the deity. So then, with time, I would think, maybe, you know, Vishnu must be, because that's what the Shastra says. And then they'll come up. So it's just ways of doing. So, yes, and as it goes, then it gets takes on different names. You know, as you transform something, it gets new names. But its origin is the same thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the thing. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, this is, in some areas we've seen the result of immature preaching or indirect preaching, that devotees, in order to reach out more people in general, they didn't plant the bhakti seed into their hearts.
Right.
Then those who came then later, they have to take out that seed of karma, jnana, or yoga, or whatever, social, whatever.
Right.
And then to plant the seed, the bhakti seed.
Yes.
Because then people cultivating, and they actually think that whatever they do, yoga or karma, it's on the same level like Shuddha Bhakti.
Yes, yes.
So this is the difficulty with indirect preaching.
Yes, yes. So that's the point, is what anything time you're preaching is based on the upadhi, it's going to be a problem. So that's the thing, we're basing it on devotion. And then, according to our upadhis, we connect to that. But to start with the upadhi and make it, you know, like you're saying, the yoga, you know, that, or the philanthropic thing, there's that one, what is it, the 3,000?
Psychology.
Yeah, like that, and, you know, like that. But they're not so famous like that. But the 300, they were very famous.
Well, 3,000 also not famous.
Not the 3,000.
Certain areas.
Okay. So, but still not as famous as the 300.
Because no,
they're not doing as much as the 300 did, right? No? Not knowing? No? Yeah, that's Prabhu.
If the 300 came through the, through the time trial, how do you call it? They're proven by time.
Yes, yes. Yeah, trial by fire, yes, yeah. Like that.
But then 3,000 is a new thing. Right?
Yeah, so they're trying to establish themselves. So you have that, or you have this, you know, thing that we're the Westerners, you know, the 3,000 will be based a touch on that, and, you know, so all these different things. So then the difficulty is they take, or some of them preach through vegan, and so that's the identity, and they join, and then they don't like vegetarians, even though they're devotees.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like that. They start temples, and then the deity becomes vegan, and, you know, everything, and you can't even eat anything vegetarian. That's in Maya. And so that's the part. If you start with the upadhi, then someone's going to have to remove that upadhi. But then the thing comes down is those who are sincere, you'll be able to remove it. Those who are not, they'll continue, and at some point, go away.
Because plowing the field is painful.
Yes, plowing the field's painful. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's dry. You have to, it means you have to put some, you have to, through hearing and chanting, you have to make it wet. And then you have to let it sit, and then it's called, there's a point, at least in Bengali, called joa. It means if you plow, it will break up. If it's earlier, it'll just get stuck in the mud. If you wait later, it's too dry and it just get big clumps. It's this perfect thing like that. And then you do, and then you with the afterwards, then you take the ladder and you flatten it out, and yeah, it's a bit of work. So that's the whole point. Preaching means to prepare that field, and then having got the field, then the seed can be given. And it's nice. Huh? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.